Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Recording,
everybody. Hello, hello.
Hello, hello.
Welcome to Two Black Girls, One Rose.
Where together we'll uncover what we can learn about modern dating, love, and relationships from popular television. I'm Natasha.
And I'm Justine. And we have an extra, extra special guest on the pod today. Former bachelorette Michelle Young is joining us. So excited to talk to her. We had a great conversation with her earlier today. Mm-hmm. But before we get you guys into that interview, shout out to our new tagline.
So for those of you who are new here, or those of you who only know us as a bachelor recap podcast, we want to take a second to get a little personal with you guys and reintroduce ourselves to you. We started this podcast in December of 2017. And for 5 years, we were two black ass girls invading the whitest show on earth, The Bachelor. Mm-hmm. And we've spent the past 5 years known as a bachelor podcast that sometimes talks about other reality shows.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. While The Bachelor was our main source of content, what we were really doing at the core of all of our recaps was having nuanced conversations about dating, love, relationships, sex, marriage, and we just happened to be doing it through the lens of a TV show. When we found other TV shows that allowed us to continue to have these conversations, shows like Married at First Sight, Love is Blind, Perfect Match, and we've even done scripted shows like Insecure, it's allowed us to expand a little more.
Yeah. So since our decision this year to not cover Zach's season of The Bachelor and to break free of this very narrow perception of being a bachelor podcast, we have finally been able to really stick back and envision a new outlook for this podcast. It has allowed us to dream bigger for what we really want this podcast to provide and what we really want to stand for.
Mm-hmm. While our relationship status as women have drastically changed, shout out to Natasha's Getting Married, the series, check it out on Patreon. What has remained the same is our love for TV, our mm-hmm. love for dissecting TV, our love for making each other laugh, and mm-hmm. just having really amazing conversations about what these TV shows and movies are actually teaching us, if anything.
Right. So the reality dating show world is a lot of fun. There's, you know, mm-hmm. so many different reality dating shows. We've dissected a bunch. But there's so much content on TV. Mm-hmm. And y'all know we watch a lot of TV. If you're a member mm-hmm. of the Rose Garden, our Patreon community, you already know we watch a lot of shit. Mm-hmm. So we are tired of boxing ourselves in. And we really feel like Two Black Girls, One Rose is a podcast that uniquely sits at the intersection between a fun TV recap podcast and a dating relationships podcast. Mm-hmm. And we're excited to finally lean into that with all of you guys. And together, we're going to uncover and unpack what we can learn about modern dating and love and relationships from popular television. And that includes dating reality shows, but that might also include scripted television shows, documentaries, whatever is on and popping, whatever everybody's watching on Netflix. That's what we're going to be dissecting here. Together, we're going to laugh, we're going to debate, and we're going to learn a thing or two about love.
Mm-hmm. So let us know how that sounds. If you're new and old members of the Rose Garden, yes. Let us know in the comments. Yes. And so much love and appreciation for allowing us to grow and evolve, especially to our day ones. You guys have seen us through a lot of things, mm-hmm. a lot of things. Mm-hmm. And we will continue to have fun each and every week on this podcast.
Yep. Shout out as always to the Rose Garden. We love you guys. If you love this show and you want more of it, please head to Patreon at patreon.com/twoblackgirls1rose and join the Rose Garden. It's a great way to support our work as creators specifically and directly, and us creating these episodes every single week. And by joining our Patreon, you actually also earn yourself some really special bonus content, like mm-hmm. our weekly recaps of Married at First Sight Nashville. We have bonus content from our interviews, including today's interview with Michelle. We have some other extra special tea that we put just on Patreon.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Lots of video content. And you also get access to our private Facebook group, which is 1,700 members strong. Amazing, amazing, smart women and men who fucking love TV, who love love, who are just obsessive and fanatics like us. And mm-hmm. so Facebook group is a great time, but you can only get access by joining the Rose Garden. Patreon.com/twoblackgirls1rose. And yeah, that's our spiel. Let's jump into our conversation with Michelle.
Let's do it. Okay, so we got to do it. We got to get it over with. We got to talk about The Bachelor.
Yeah.
Okay, well, hey.
You know?
Bachelor gave me this platform, so I, you know, there's a lot of stuff that's going on, but at the end of the day, I'm grateful. Yes. Let's get into it.
Let's get in.
So for us, Rodney not being chosen as The Bachelor was the cherry on top. And what really actually broke us all the way down. So everything beneath that was Matt James's season. It was really hard for us to cover that season. And I always describe it as everything that could have went wrong with a black man on as the lead of a dating show went wrong on that season. Absolutely. Every last thing. So what do you think about them not choosing Rodney? Because we said it was a double-edged sword that they didn't choose Rodney because we didn't trust them anyway with a black man. So what did you think about them not choosing Rodney and choosing Zach instead?
I definitely, you know, I've always been like a huge advocate of Rodney, and it's a difficult situation to be in, but Rodney and I just kind of, I feel like, have this understand, like, we respect each other at the end of the day, right? There's a lot of people involved, but like, we respect each other. He's got a good head on his shoulders, and it is something where you kind of like take a step back and you look at it and it's frustrating, but I also really sat there and had the same reaction as you guys of it's hard because it's like, is it going to be mishandled? At the end of the day, what I believe in is, I mean, we could say the same thing about having a black woman in The Bachelorette. Mm-hmm. You know, we haven't had a black man since Matt James' season. And so that would have been really nice. But I wish he would have gotten that decision to make it for himself. And that's what it comes down to, is that like, I won't ever say, well, like, I'm happy he's not in that position because it wouldn't have been handled correctly. Right. And it comes down to it where it's like, I want the black man to have a decision. I want him to have the opportunity. Right. He gets to choose. He gets to choose what he wants to be a part of or not. And so I do. Right. I do wish that he had that opportunity. And it's hard when, you know, the representation is just not there.
I mean, and we, even Rodney aside and how great he was, Zach to us was just so boring, and his Instagram numbers are just so dwindling, and nobody was really that interested. And they just seem to be reverting back to, well, we'll talk about Charity in a second. But they just seem to be reverting back to this, like, okay, we'll just prop a white man up there. Do you think they'll ever have a black male lead as The Bachelor ever again?
Oh, I see why we did that warm up. Can we go back to the warm up?
Can't just throw you to the wolves, you know.
I can see if I can give you like Beyonce tickets or something.
Oh my god.
Honestly, my honest question is, I don't know. I think that for this show to be successful, it is getting to the point where it's like there's going to have to be representation across all communities. Otherwise, it's getting to the point where it's like, you know, the same Instagram numbers, the same overnight fame that used to happen even 5 years ago is really different now. You can take a look at all of the girls who were on Zach's season, and there's a lot of really good women there. But even Charity right now, Charity, her following is not like social media is really not, you know, like the numbers and people being in can be invested. But a lot of people who are invested are either one, not following, or there's all these other shows. You really have to like sit and like dive into the data of all of it. But it doesn't seem like there's this, you know, mass following anymore. But I hope that there's representation. I hope that it goes also beyond just having like a black male in a bachelor position or a black female in a bachelorette position. And I hope we get into it of just, you know what I mean? Like even pushing away just the typical like gender roles, the different other, you know, like like body shape, everything. I think there's a lot of representation areas needed that also still need to be hit. And I hope, I hope that is continuing to be pushed.
Yeah, we talk a lot about the racial representation, but there's so many other areas, as you said, body diversity. We've joked about hair diversity, even seeing girls with like shorter haircuts, sexual orientation, all of that. So there's a lot of, I guess, work and progress to be made in those areas.
And I think part of it too, a big piece of that is that it also has to go into the viewers. It's the viewer's job to think outside of their norm. And it's like, human nature. Unfortunately, it's human nature to relate to people that look like us. And so really taking a step back and ensuring and looking like yourself in the mirror and all, as an audience member or someone who's a fan of Bachelor Nation, whatever it is, to really look and make sure that you are supporting characteristics that you enjoy and not just representation of what you look like. Because you could even bring up the whole, you know what I mean? You could even bring up the whole short hair or texture or whatever it is. And again, it's like there's a reason why women of color or just contestants of color typically have had less following is because it doesn't come off as a little like relatable or it's more foreign or whatever it is. But it's like we have to step outside ourselves. And that's like a huge thing of like uncovering that like bias, and it's there's among a lot the of audience. Things
For sure
society period across the board like there's
and yeah Bachelor Nation's fandom is a very interesting group of people, so there's a lot of work, not just the show as you said, but like among the audience as well.
Absolutely, so
seeing how Matt James's season turned out, seeing how you know, they handled telling this black man's story. What persuaded you to want to be the bachelorette and entrust, you know, production with telling your love story?
You know, I've been asked this question a few times and it's been really just interesting to even like sit back and process and reflect and look at it. And when you're become a contestant, like you have a massive learning curve. Especially I got thrown in super late. I had to deal with that whole concept of it. There was a lot of intense conversations that we're having. I had a huge target on my back. It was just a really, really intense season in general. And then at the end of it, you know, I'm the person who's sitting side by side who I was runner up. I was dealing with a broken heart, yet at the same time, I'm dealing with all this race stuff. Yes, this is my first time on TV, yet I'm still a school teacher. And there's such a massive learning curve. And so I really had to sit down and I didn't know that I was going to be the bachelorette until about like 8 hours before I walked on stage. So it wasn't this thing that I knew ahead of time. And I had, you know, I hadn't gotten a specific answer yet. And I knew that I was in the running, but I was like, we're going to go through this entire process. And then I'm going to just like have to sit and talk on the stage about race, be the face of this. And then all of a sudden, like, see you later. There was a lot of just intense anxiety. It was COVID. You're locked in a room. Like there was just so much stuff, so many things that are happening. But I think what I really did is I made sure that I wanted to take control of my own story. So I really laid out what I were my non-negotiables before I signed the contract. Okay. And it was being able to tell the Black story from start to finish.
Okay.
Having a diverse group of men and allowing them that time to tell those stories. And so, you know, I'm from Minnesota. George Floyd was a huge piece that came into Matt's season. It all kind of took place beforehand. Yeah. A lot had happened here with like the riots. It was something that was very close to home. And I was like, I want to make sure that if these conversations come up, I have the say, like, I want to make sure that it's given enough screen time because I don't, I don't want this scanned over or skimmed over because it's a huge part of me and I don't want to be shoved in a box. And I had to be very vocal with just certain things as we were filming that like, no, this needs to be shown. I don't want that cut. And it was kind of taking production terms to a certain extent into my own hands of like pointing out different things where it's like, don't pin me to be this or like, you know. But again, I went through that contestant phase too. Like Matt got thrown into it. He had never been a contestant. And even if he does, it's again, we're supposed to be there and be able to focus on falling in love. Like, I don't want to be there and focus this on not being a part of a racist scandal. Like, I want to be there and focus. But like, but yeah, I mean, honestly, as a person of color, you do. You have to kind of have your own back in those ways, even in a workplace.
Yeah,
yeah, exactly. It's just like any workplace. That's what it sounds like. Wow. That's really interesting that you had to set those boundaries before you even knew they were going to push them.
Yeah.
You know,
it's, I think it's, it wasn't necessarily like easy to come to that decision, but it was, it was, I was very vocal. I had relationships, like strong relationships with the producers, executive producers. They did have like respect for me. And I kind of said, okay, we're going to all take our like production hats off for a second and we're going to talk like as people because there's a lot of desensitization that comes from this. You know, you contestants come through and it kicks them through and you go through this show and it's like, it's real and it's our real world. But at the same time, it's, there's just so many things that happen and it's easy to just like produce. And I'm like, okay, no, like we're going to, we need to like make this more human and really like step back and think about just values and you know what we're trying to get across here and if we really want this to be successful which it really I mean you know but like but if we want this to be in a good experience or opportunity, like this is how that's going to happen for me.
It's like we're at the end of the day, you know, we're making a TV show but we all are like real people at the same time and so let's like keep that at the center of this, please. And I could
feel at the end of the day we want it to work. That's the thing. At the end of the day, like you have drama. You have all this like crazy chaos that's going. But like it comes full circle for you to find your person. And like that's the whole point is at the end of the day, we want the show to work because we want the people to fall in love. Like you don't ever want to end a movie on like a love story that doesn't work and it cuts off. Like nobody's watching for that. Nobody's watching for the breakup. Like we're watching for the love story. And so it's like, let's make sure we set it up. So at the, in the end, we have that. Or have the best possible chance to having that.
Yeah, that's a great point. I feel like there's definitely been seasons where you're watching and you're like, do they like the lead? Why am I hating lead right now? It seems like the this production not like the lead. Do we not want this guy to fall in love? Like, and it seems like it gets lost sometimes, some seasons.
Yeah, and I can't like, I can't speak for any everybody, but I will say that you go through a lot when you're a lead, like you're tired, you get pulled in a lot of different directions. You can't talk to your family. Like it's crazy. Yeah. It's like, I know that a lot of leads have gotten paranoid and things like that, but it's like, I did everything I could to make sure that I stayed respectful. Like I never spoke down to anybody. I never snapped or took anybody's head off. Like I really did maintain like a professional yet vulnerable status of it all. And I can say that, I mean, at the end of the day, there are still a lot of leads too that we're not the most respectful people. And it's, that's hard to, it's leads and contestants, period. You know? And so that was, that was a big thing. And I think that's why I was able to also maintain those relationships is because it's like, you're going to get the respect that you give out.
Yes. And even speaking of that, not only did you look great on your season, as we mentioned earlier with the mental lull, even that was unprecedented. But the men on your season, I think, looked amazing, right? Rodney, Olu, Brandon, all looked like such like genuine, lovely, nice Black men. Mm-hmm. And somehow they landed on Clayton to be the bachelor, who ended up with a wonderful ending, which we loved watching. That was crazy and hysterical.
Great TV.
We also had Jesse Palmer come back, which, you know, sure. Would have loved to have Caitlin and Tasia, but sure. So we overnight after your season, which we thought was such a huge success, just went right back to being the whitest show on earth, as we have coined it as. And it seems like we take one step forward, 10 steps back. We had Zach's season, who fine, but there was a blackface scandal within the first episode, right? Episode one or two. And now we have Charity as our bachelorette, which people seem to be happy with. But as we just stated, her Instagram numbers are probably half of her white counterparts. And so people seem to be like, okay, fine, happy with it, but not as excited as they would be as some of the other white contestants. What is some of the work, right? The work, we're doing the work, that you have seen behind the scenes for the show. Can you tell us about some of the work that they've been doing, and what is that change that we should be waiting for that they promised us so long ago in the show? Mm.
Oh, that's such a good question. You know, I will always keep it respectful, and I will always keep it 100% honest. The Rachel and Gabby season, where there was that massive blackface scandal, and I'm sure you guys saw that at the last act. I excused myself off the stage. I wasn't present there during that because I was heartbroken, honestly, really hurt that that conversation wasn't addressed. After that took place, I have continued to have very long conversations with higher ups just throughout this whole process, throughout Zach's season. And I really wanted to make sure that it wasn't just words, it was actions, because I came into Bachelor Nation on a racist scandal. Pretty much every season besides my season had something of that piece of it, and kind of had to really give that reminder of what my experience has been like as a Black female lead, and really pushed for, as this was coming out, you know, we kind of already, social media already kind of had picked up that this whole situation with Greer was taking place. So before we even got to this finale or the Women Tell All, I was already speaking about, this is already what's happening.
Right.
And again, this is kind of like an easy hitter, like messed up with the whole Eric situation. This is take two. What should we even be in this situation? Right. No, we shouldn't even be in this situation, because like we can have drama all day. Our drama doesn't have to be racism. Like, let's move on to something else.
Please. It's boring.
Excuse me. But like, or like, I get the drama. I get the chaos. And it was kind of really sitting down with higher ups and breaking it down of morals TV show. Right? Like it's, let's have both in this. But we can't keep hurting communities of people and different cultures like this. Otherwise, I'm out. I'm out. It's just, it's exhausting and, and everything. And it's, for me in these conversations, it was really focusing on, how are you guys going to take accountability, and how are you going to move forward? And do you understand that part of moving forward is repairing? And part of progressing and learning is repairing. And so not only does it need to be address, but you also need to repair, and you also need to be prepared for, you know, as we went into this Women Tell All with this situation with Greer, knowing she's gonna have a hot spot, knowing that Dr. Banks is coming in. Two things that I really wanted to happen is to make sure that they understood it's still to some extent going to look performative, and we're still going to question. And so it's not going to be a situation when you're growing, and if you made these mistakes over and over and hurt this group of people over and over and have said things, a lot of it has come off performative, because we are literally in the same position as what I entered on. And so I think when one of their own bachelorettes was saying that, hopefully it started to, you know, really make way. And Rachel Lindsay was already having a lot of those conversations back, you know, back when she did. She really did pave the way for a lot of those conversations and really pushed and was having a lot of these same conversations. And I think what it came down to is that I was like, you guys understand that even if you address this, yes, you're not going to make everybody happy, but there's also like, you're not going to ultimately get a star on the back or a cookie or everything's fixed. If you truly want to change and if you truly want to repair, that takes time and that takes consistency. And it's also the franchise as a whole. Like, I get this one person, not this one person, but in this situation, Greer made a mistake. She addressed it. She took accountability. She took responsibility. She, you know, made a promise to continue to educate herself and all these different things. And it's on your platform, but that doesn't mean that your platform has changed. She is doing the work to change.
Are you
doing the work as a franchise to change?
Exactly.
So like, it was really having those conversations and breaking it down and really challenging that, because it's something where it's like, I have received a lot of opportunities from the franchise, and there's a lot of really great things I can do from having a platform and being representation for other young girls, you know, of color. But it's also hard because it's like, you have to protect your own peace. And so, so the conversations are being had, and there's a lot of different steps that are in motion. And again, I hope that it continues. I will say that. I hope that it continues, and I hope that it continues even when it's not a scandal, like a massive thing in our face, you know?
Right.
The education has to continue. And that's kind of what I have always spoke with, or, you know, in the whole Greer situation is it's easy to apologize and acknowledge, but 2 months, 3 months down the road, are you still reading books? Are you still, you still trying to learn your biases? Are you still trying to learn about all these different things? Are you still educating yourself? Cause it's a lifelong promise.
Truly.
Yep. It's an ongoing thing. It's not like this, you know, it's a lifestyle change. Truly.
It seems like the franchise for a while has been in a very like reactive mode, like something happens, they're like, okay, let's do this. And so when you see things like Charity being named Bachelorette, you know, I'm happy for her. I want to see every Black woman win and get opportunities that otherwise we've not really been privy to. But it's still in the back of my head, I'm like, okay, we're excited, they threw us a bone, we'll take it, but we still got to see, what's this change? Like, I just still got to see the change is not being named, you know, not naming Black women bachelors, we've done this. So like, what else is there? You know,
you got to change the bones.
Yeah, exactly. You got to change the bones. 100% Now, a lot of Black contestants, former leads within Bachelor Nation, have famously like left the franchise. Rachel Lindsay from forever ago, Tasia, Natasha Parker recently. Each of them leaving for a variety of reasons, but a common thread being kind of like the disappointment with the franchise and no longer feeling like they can stand by it. Even we decided this season we weren't recapping Zach's season, which was the first time in 5 years of our podcast. What's your objective in continuing to stick by the franchise and kind of the role you feel like you play and what you make of all of the Black folk fleeing?
Yeah, I've been one of the people who've been in the inside conversations. I say that protectively because it's also really protectively of myself, not of the franchise. Let me put that out there real quick. Because I did consider stepping away. I have considered that. And I openly spoke about that with the conversations of just what I'm willing to stand by, and having this conversation with Greer, was one of my like just non-negotiables of, I'm not going, I can't continue to be a part of something that won't address, won't repair, won't, you know, that's huge. It's literally black and white. It's actually funny, but truly, it's not this like, you know, it's not this, it's glaring. That's a perfect way to put it. And so I really, really pushed that. And again, Becca was also in some of those conversations with me, just because we were, I will be honest, we were struggling to move forward with some of the conversations on Bachelor Happy Hour, because it's like, it's always on to the next thing, on to the next thing. Everybody's skimming over it. And what I'll tell you is that like, I haven't lost sight of it at all. And it was really just kind of holding on and continuously monitoring my mental health with it. What am I willing to try to put effort into changing? What I'm willing to put my energy into changing. But it hasn't been a passive placeholder that I'm okay. just holding. It's been okay. actively process. Pushing a lot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because I'm not a passive person. So I just, and again, that doesn't mean that other people have to speak on it or other people of color, mm-hmm. because it's not one person of color. It's not my job to change the franchise,
right? Right?
It's not right. on me because right. I'm one of the yeah. last people of color that's left. It's not Mike right. Johnson because he's one of the last people left. Like, yeah. It's not our job right. to change it.
No.
But I'll tell you right. that there's definitely that drive there to change
of
it.
Course.
Yeah.
And there's, mm-hmm. there is that pause of really kind of wanting to evaluate what mm-hmm. is valued or what is shown that they value. And so, yeah. Mm-hmm. yeah, there's been a lot of push, a lot of very honest, gut-wrenching push.
Yeah.
Sure. Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, we appreciate you for continuing to do the work and just essentially being on the front lines for all of us who've been in, you know, Bachelor Nation and have been trying to advocate for change.
And I also will say 100% respect when people decide to step away too. 100% yeah. valid. Rachel yeah. Lindsay, everything. Yeah. She got this started. She really was right. the person who yeah. really called out yeah. just how much needs to mm-hmm. be changed. And, mm-hmm. you know, Matt and his season with what he went through mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. Natasha, her step, like she's, as she yeah. stepped away, yeah. there's a lot of pain there, and they are yeah. just as they've done just as much work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Period.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Got to protect your mm-hmm. peace. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Justine, how is your social battery these days?
My God, I am to the brim. I still have time for my yoga practice and reading every night, but I do have a ton of invitations to outdoor happy hours, events. Mm-hmm. This past weekend, I spent with almost all of my best friends at once, and by Sunday, I was completely drained. Mm. What about you?
Yeah, I've been feeling pretty decent. I've been getting a lot of me time, which you know is very nice. Important to me.
Uh-huh.
But I definitely know what it's like to spread myself too thin, particularly socially, mm-hmm. especially with the weather getting nicer, wanting to be outside all the time with all my people. Mm-hmm. I get it. I totally get it, friend.
Mm-hmm. It can take some serious reflection to understand what's the right amount of socializing and how do you recharge? Maybe you're like me and you thrive around people, or maybe you're like Natasha and need some more alone time. Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery.
Now, y'all know we are huge advocates of therapy. We talk about it all the time on this podcast. It's been tremendously beneficial throughout various stages of my life, from being young and single and struggling with loneliness. Therapy massively helped me to cope. Dealing with work stress and crippling burnout, therapy really helps me to set boundaries with myself and prioritize my self-care as well.
If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge.
Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/2BG1R today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/2BG1R. Okay, so we'll segue a little bit. We want to talk about your transition from your fifth grade teacher in Minnesota. Now you're kind of bi-coastal. You're doing hosting, influencing. You're advocating for social good and different social causes. Now, you didn't join Instagram until 2020 when you were on Matt James' season. Is that right?
Yeah.
That is so...
That's wild.
That's wild, first of all, just like humankind. And then just in this world of Bachelor Nation, where some girls come in with like thousands of followers already, you just kind of join. What took you so long to want to join Instagram?
I mean, you can never question if I was there for the right reasons or not, because I didn't give two shits about social media.
Yeah.
No. Yeah.
Honestly, it was COVID. My friends have been asking me for years because we would just go out and do fun things. And then they would post a video and tag everybody. And then they're like, Michelle, when are you going to get an Instagram so we can tag you? I just really didn't ever care about that. And I don't know. I didn't even really have a worry or concern about, you know, how women are just, a lot of girls go on Instagram and they're constantly comparing themselves.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And there's all of this anxiety around social media. It was just, for me, it seemed not like a waste of time, but it's like in these moments, there's a beautiful sunset happening. We all know when there's a sunset happening, your phone doesn't capture it as well. Like it doesn't do it justice.
It's a waste of time.
Right. So I'm sitting there and I'm enjoying the sunset. My friends all have their phones out and are watching the sunset through their phone. And it's like, I don't want that. And so I understand like being a part of the memories and you want to keep them. And there are times like pictures can also do some beautiful things, but we definitely get caught up with all of it. And I guess that's where I wanted my time. And so eventually I came around to it and I'm like, okay, it's just going to be about balance. And that's what I try to keep in mind. But I joined it kind of just understanding that. And that's why when people follow me, they're like, oh, Michelle posted today. I'm like, yeah, shit. Cause I freaking forgot I had Instagram. You know, people will send wellness checks because I haven't posted in like 14 days. And I'm like, what are you talking? I'm like, wild. I just posted the other day. They're like, no, that was like 14 days ago. Oh my gosh, shit. You know, so so it's just never been a priority. And I grew up in a family where we took pictures for memories, but my parents really kind of pushed us to and taught us how to live in the moment of it. And that's what I always appreciated. And that's what made me happy. And so I think that's why I stayed off of Instagram for so long.
Yeah.
And I do see the benefits being on it, but I also see the negative impacts for sure.
Of course. Yeah. Yeah. I was going to say, because now you're like in the belly of the beast. You've become, you do influencing now. You have such a huge platform.
We're going to, I hate that word influencing.
Really? Okay.
I dislike it so much because I think, okay, when you hear the word influencing, do you think positive or negative?
Positive.
A little both.
Yeah.
Okay,
a little bit of both,
this is like one of my favorite questions to ask people when you hear that when I say the word influencing, is it positive or negative? And a lot of people come back with negative. And I honestly think about it as well, just because I maybe it's my teacher side of me, but when you're asking kids, what do you want to be when you grow up? It's now influencer, YouTuber, which again, like there's a lot of things you can do with that, but it's not the heart piece of it. It's not like I want to influence to make a difference. It's the I want to influence because I want to be famous. And so that's why when I hear influencer, I hear like going after likes or doing that kind of thing. And that's just my process of it. But that's why I really, when people are like, you're a full-blown influencer right now, and I'm like, no, like go look at my website, michelleyoungofficial.com. Look to see like I'm influencing people to make an impact with me.
Right.
And that's where the word influencer comes into it.
Okay.
But yeah, it's definitely, it's still a change of pace and it takes time to for sure get used to and figure out which pieces of influencing I want and which pieces of teaching I want to take into influencing.
Okay.
But it's, I would say it's not the typical influencer, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
And so no shame to somebody who wants to do that. It's just that's
right. Yeah. No shame, but just your perspective on how you want to use it. So with MichelleYoungOfficial.com, you're kind of like trying to change the game of social media influencing, trying to bring awareness to how influencers can and should be using their platforms to help elevate different causes rather than just like selling shit to people. Why is that approach to social media so important to you? Why is that the approach that you want to take?
I think when you really take a step back, or when I take a step back and I look at the benefits of social media, it all comes down to a positive impact, right? I mean, we all get, when we get anxiety, when you're comparing yourself, when you go on social media the first time in the morning and then you all of a sudden feel like shit, or you feel anxious with your mental health, there's so many negative factors. When you're on your phone, you're missing moments. But like the positive factors that I get from it, or when I think about social media in a positive way, you can stay connected Okay, there's a certain type of networking, but then also these massive movements that have been created all through social media. So you remember like the Ice Bucket Challenge when ALS, that was huge, and that was all over social media, and how much money that how much money that raised just from awareness in general. It's when I was really kind of creating with what I want with my platform, it's I want to get back to doing the good things on social media. And so that doesn't mean that you're never going to sell, that I'm never going to sell a product, because of course I'm going to talk about different products that I like and I use, but I'm also going to challenge different brands that are working with me to also have a give back portion or making sure that the brands that I work with are also giving back, because it's, we live in a world that's materialistic. We're going to buy things. We're going to go on. And it's like, whether you're watching something where you're going to look at makeup and beauty in that aspect, or you're on that organizing channel of TikTok that I get lost on so much, and you're going to go buy plastic containers from whatever place to help organize your fridge, right? Like, they're all products, and they're all things that, like, at one point are going to make us happy or help us out or make our life easier. And it's not like I'm never going to sell any of those products, but I really do want to challenge those brands that work with me to have a give back component. And I want to challenge the people who follow me to also join in on those different things by raising awareness from whatever campaign I'm working on or whatever nonprofit or cause I'm working towards. And so it's kind of changing that game. And if you can imagine, I mean, you know how many Bachelor contestants, reality TV contestants come off every season. Can you imagine if every single one of us had a give back portion? Now we're not out here mindlessly promoting.
It's honestly very noble of you to want to take this approach, because it seems so much easier to just not. Honestly, it seems so much easier to just like sell products and don't really stand for anything and just rack up endorsements and kind of, you know, build your bank account. It seems easier, but it really doesn't take that much to think about how can I partner with brands that, you know, want to stand for something. So it's like you're making it look a bit easier too, which I think is very noble.
And I mean, if I do the, if I'm doing the groundwork to kind of figure out how this would look and then bring other influencers on board with me, that's something that you can kind of keep an eye out for here in the next few days too, is someone else that's going to be joining in with me in doing this on one of my future campaigns. But it's just, it's not as difficult, like you said, as it seems. And it comes from me. If I were just mindlessly promoting, I would not be fulfilled whatsoever. Like,
it can't possibly be.
It wouldn't be. It's not fulfilling for me personally. I have to have that give back component. I want to make an impact. That's why I was a teacher. Not able to be in the classroom right now. And so that's kind of how I'm fulfilling that and making sure that that impact is as large as possible.
Nice. Good for you.
Thank you. Yeah, that's great, Michelle. Really? Those are great answers. Love it. So we're going to move on to your dating life. Okay, because Tasha, we only have 15 more minutes. So
Okay.
Move on.
Got it.
So we're going to move on to your dating life. Heard you on Cammie's podcast, Relationship. Talk about how Bachelor Nation folks are not allowed on Raya.
So I've heard.
Is not a fan. Is that still true? Because we actually had another guest who was accepted to Raya, and she's a a comedian.
Is she a lead?
She's not a comedian out in the world. She's not a Bachelor Nation.
This is just, she asked me about it because there's been like all this stuff circling about it, and that's just what I've heard. With a lot of contestants who've applied, I know a handful of leads who've applied, and nobody's been accepted. So I'm like, I don't know. God, maybe it's because we all had our chance at love and we all failed miserably.
Oh my God.
I don't know. Yeah, I can't speak for whoever created it. I have no idea. But yeah, I do know that it's definitely a known thing that we won't be able to get accepted or can't get accepted. I don't know anybody who's been on the show and then has gotten accepted. I just know quite a few people. Yeah, I don't know anybody who's gotten accepted. There's been some people on it before and then went on the show.
Right.
Those people. Right. But show and then accepted, not so much.
That's so crazy. Yeah. That's why all their Hinge profiles are like everywhere, because they have to go on
They
Hinge.
Have nowhere else to go. Why is it supposed to be for y'all? That doesn't make any sense.
Honestly, but there's a lot of like regular people on Raya too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. There's just people like who just like work Spotify or something.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, got it. It's like all industry based. Yeah. No, nothing against Raya. I'm just like, yeah, something's going on here.
This right. Yeah. What is this? Yeah.
So, hey, that's all right. Raya, the owner, is going to be like, why does this girl keep getting asked? I really don't have a chance. I'm like, damn, that's what's getting picked up from all my interviews is Raya shit. I'm like, no, that's what I've heard.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
That's so funny.
Let me apply and see what happens.
I'll and see, yeah, give it a whirl. Yeah. Give it a whirl. So, yeah, so are you dating now? Do you meet people out? I know it's a bit different now. You're like a public figure, public face. So like, how do you approach dating in your life now?
That's such a loaded question. It's, dating is actually really hard, and it's really hard for a number of reasons. Mm-hmm. Because it's just one, it's how do you meet people? Because I'm so busy. I'm everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like, unless you're going to be sitting next to me on my flight, and that's how I run into you. So it's hard to just meet people in that aspect of it, especially when I'm so career focused right now. Mm-hmm. But the other places, like my social life, it's like if you're at a bar or if you're at a club or, you know, we're out bowling with friends or just different things like that. Those are like my moments to really just spend time with my friends. And so I'm not focused on
not checking for anybody,
And I don't know if guys get intimidated or what. But I get a lot of like girls who come running up to me, but not men.
Not guys.
Not necessarily men, or it's like the ones that you don't want them coming up to you.
Right.
Damn.
So, but I mean, I've gone on dates for sure. Or had like people slide into your DMs and take you on a date. And it's, I never bring up the show like until they bring it up just because I want to get to know them. But I would say the hardest part is having to sit down and do small talk at a date.
Yeah.
I'm like, tell me, I want to sit down and be like, tell me how many kids you want. What do you value? What is your biggest fear? What is your biggest fear? And that type of thing. I'm like, I don't want to sit down and be like, what's your favorite color? When's your birthday? Like, name all your family members, which that's really important. I want to hear about your family, but watch tabloids. Michelle doesn't care about people's families, but
God.
But like, I just it's so crazy. I think that's why a lot of bachelor people date other bachelor people, is because you just get into the nitty-gritty. Like, that's the one thing that I really loved from the show, is that it challenges you to be vulnerable. I was not a vulnerable person, and now I very much am. So in my relationships, or just friendships even, or you know, when you're going on these dates, I want to get right into it. I want to have those deep conversations and meaningful conversations and like cut the bullshit.
Yeah.
But I was definitely a small talk like that's just a stage you go through, the small talk stage that everyone goes through. And I'm like, well, shit.
I'm past it. How do I gotta do that? Know the meat.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, oh, tell me your biggest fear.
Please dive into
it. Yeah, right?
Now, you had a great cast of men. And Bachelor Nation has sometimes can be a bit incestuous, people dipping back in the pod or dating men from other seasons. And
ooh, you know, why what's is that your incestuous?
I mean, it's a small little world.
It's just all, you guys
little world. It's like a little bubble. It's not a bad thing. Yeah. It's not a bad thing. These are hopefully pre-vetted people.
True.
So we've seen it before. No one be mad.
You dated Rodney? Nobody would be mad at you.
What's your stand on this? Like, dating within the nation, and like, have guys from your season reach back out? Are you open to it? Or are you trying to just like be completely out of Bachelor Nation in terms of dating?
I would say that at the moment, there's not necessarily like anybody in Bachelor Nation that I'm interested in on speaking to in a romantic way. I think it's easy to get caught up in Bachelor Nation. I think Bachelor Nation is really special, but I also think it's sometimes hard. You get consumed by it. And so like, when you're hanging around Bachelor Nation people or you're dating Bachelor Nation, all you do is talk about Bachelor Nation. And right? It just is. Whether you even like realize it or not. And so I think that's what has drawn me to date outside of it, is because it's refreshing to be able to take a step away from that, or a breath of fresh air outside of that, you know, kind of brings you back to reality a little bit. Earth. And I love that. Yeah. And all of that. Now, does that mean that I would never date somebody in the future if something came up? Absolutely. Mm-hmm. It would have to be the right person, and it would have to make sure that I'm not going to say they're there for the right reasons, because that's just, I can't keep saying that. But do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Right. It's just like you kind of understand the perks of Bachelor Nation, and I would want to make sure that they're really there to get to know me. And that's what I care about. And you have to balance. Like, you have to be able to be somebody outside of that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Outside of Bachelor world.
Mm-hmm. You can see the folks who were just like totally sucked into the world. Like, Bachelor Nation is their whole everything now. And then you can see the folks like you, I would say, that seem to have a balance, that have a world outside and they're still kind of in it. And I think that sounds like the healthier route, I would say, to not be so caught up in the bubble.
Yeah, and again, like, I don't ever want to bash Bachelor Nation in that extent of it has given me a platform. It has given me so many wonderful opportunities to be able to do different things and make an impact. But I do think it's good to have balance. It's always healthy to have balance, no matter what it is.
Of course.
Too much of one thing never does any good.
Right.
So dating, not only dating in LA versus Minnesota, you have a place in both places, so you could probably date in both states or both places, but also dating as a teacher who was like going to go out and get her master's degree versus dating as, I don't think influencer is a bad word, a content creator, maybe?
Sure.
Dating as a new content creator, has your type changed? Like, has anything changed about Michelle, the Michelle who was a fifth grade teacher and the Michelle who has a platform and is out on social media?
I would say that my type has changed, but not from moving from a teacher, to a content creator. My type has changed because I think I really would make sure that I'm just listening to my gut fully. Mm-hmm. And when I'm in relationships or, you know, I've gone on first dates and I've gone on second dates, and I have had moments where I'm like, something in my gut is off, and you don't even have to fully understand what that is. Mm-hmm. You can adjust.
Yeah.
And my job right now is when I'm dating is that I'm listening to that gut now, because I haven't necessarily fully listened to that in the past.
Okay.
And it's gotten me, it's gotten me heartbroken. And now I'm just like, I need to start listening to that. And so that whole, like, those whole, like, lust goggles or love goggles, you know what I mean? Things like that. Yeah. It really comes down to how you treat me as a person and how I, you know, what are your core values and goals and the type of people you want to have around you and the type of activities you want to, and like, are you driven? It's all these different things. And also, someone could check all that off. If my gut's like, something's off, I'm listening to my gut. It's just, I'm not playing with the, let's just look past the gut wrenching gut feeling that we're having. It's like that shit is never wrong. So I'm like, listening. Goodbye. Like, listening.
That is true. Yeah.
Yeah.
The loudest. Yeah, sometimes it's the voice that kind of gets like squished, but when you let it be loud, it's usually right and it usually guides you in the right direction. So
exactly. And that goes for
relationships,
friends, things in my career, decisions I'm making, everything. Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. Gut has, I'm listening.
Okay, so I'm gonna go back up Justine to one of these other questions. So we love reality TV. We love reality dating as a genre, just in general. Everyone, you know, we love the fantasy. We love love. We love the prospect of seeing people falling in love. We love watching the whole journey. The process of watching is a lot of fun, but oftentimes the process and the journey doesn't work for the lead. You know, we just came off of watching Perfect Match on Netflix, which none of the couples lasted. Love is Blind season 2 and 3 have been a mess. Bachelor Nation track record is kind of shaky. You know, something isn't, I'll just say it's kind of shaky.
Just blushing over here.
I'm not saying no names. I'm not calling no names. It's a little shaky.
Something
with this genre just like isn't working. It's like something's missing. Like we're tuning in every time we're watching the process, but then it's kind of the same thing at the end. You know, we look a few months later, people break up. As a reality dating show veteran, what from your perspective is the problem here? What's missing? What do we need to make these shows more successful and help these couples persist?
Time.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Time and support. And so time in the being of you physically don't have a lot of time to get to know these people. Right. And there's a reason why Paradise seems to be increasingly more successful than this situation is because
true.
I went into it having this at the forefront of my mind. I'm a huge like statistics person. And and so even before I like stepped in, it's like, what questions can I ask to make sure that I'm really getting to know these people so that I'm not making a same mistake, or how do I avoid the mistake? Mm-hmm. And I really was focused and direct with the questions even that I asked. Okay. And so when my relationship didn't work out, it's like, where did I go wrong? Or what did I, you know, what could I have asked to prevent this? What could you have
said? Yeah.
And when it comes down to it, when somebody's in front of your face for only 15 minutes at a time, 20 minutes at a time, and you're going on all these intense things, it's a new environment. Nobody has support from their outside family or friends to help guide them through their thought process. You can get caught up in the emotions. There's a lot of bad characteristics that can get pointed out for the lead to make their decision to send them home. But also at the same time, it's like, it is easy to have blinders on. And even if you don't have those blinders on, if you think about, I always heard this fact that it takes 4 years to genuinely know somebody inside and out. It's, I don't know if that's like how accurate that is, but it goes to the fact that it just takes more time than that to truly know somebody. And it takes more experiences, because one of the biggest things that I learned, even just going through what I went through, is when life gets really, really hard, every human goes back to their default. And before I step into another relationship or a serious relationship or whatever person to end with, I need to know that person's default. And there is no way to know somebody's default in that short amount of time.
Right.
Because life's going to hit you. You're going to go through death. You're going to have to, you know, potentially bury family members. You're going to go through sickness. You're going to go through all these different things. How does that person next to you handle it? Because I know how I'm going to handle it, and I'm going to struggle. And that doesn't mean that I'm not going to, you know, have a hard time or, you know, not be myself, but or be less like myself. But at the same time, it's like, I know how I get through those situations. And I can also get through those things in a healthy manner. And I know what my default is. And I need to know somebody else's default. And I don't think you can learn that default until you have time to learn that. And so these people, so that's the time piece. And so when these relationships are, you know, they go through this whole world where there's no outside distractions. There's... not the noise. You typically don't have the fame yet. You don't have all this other stuff. You're filming it's just you guys. You have no distraction. You don't have your phone. You don't have your job. You don't have like your focus is your relationship. And then you leave the show and it's like puts everybody on a platform with no support, with no like whether it's couples therapy, whether whatever it is to like teach us how to work through these things.
Right.
And a lot of times when you have somebody who lead, I've been through it. But then, you know, contestant who hasn't been through it, now it's like you're coaching them through this whole new beginning piece of like people are going to trash you. There's going to be people who don't like our relationship. There's going to be people who say a ton of shit about you. Like, and your foundation of your relationship has to be so strong.
Yeah.
And it's like you see that other person's default. What is that default? Yeah. And so that's what I feel like with any of these shows. When you fall in love or when you're coming together, it's in this environment where there's no distractions, where the person's not in default mode. And then you go into this other world and you don't know them for a long time. So when they go into their default mode, you're like, is this who you really are? Is this who you like? Right. And it's like, it just becomes so messy and there's no support with it. There's no, you know, map of how to work through it. And so I think the ones who really make it work are able to talk through it. They're able to kind of, you know, whether they have similar defaults, whether they're able to work through each other's defaults, but it's a lot of people shut down.
Damn. Well, producers, anybody listening, you heard this. Time and support. Those are the two areas. Let's help make these shows a little bit more lasting. Even the viewers, we want to see the couples.
We want to follow
the love journey.
We want to
see it too.
I really tried, y'all. I really tried.
We know.
We know you tried.
Yeah.
I want to know if you were, because you guys are very invested into reality TV across all bases, right? I don't know. If there would be one person that you would set me up with, because you guys know me in the sense of what I stand for, like originality, authenticity. Who would you set me up with?
And it has to be in reality TV dating world.
What world would you pick from?
Because I'm thinking, I don't know.
Don't pick somebody like Michael B. Jordan.
Okay. Right. So someone
within
the sphere.
Entertainment.
I've always liked Mike Johnson. I don't know if he's single right now. I don't know how close you guys are. I've always appreciated him as a person. We've had him on the podcast now like twice, I guess, two or three times.
He is not single right now.
He's not single. Okay. But he's very secure in his like. Manhood, I would say. Someone who just seems secure, I think is important, particularly for someone like you who is very mature, has a very good head on her shoulders, who's kind of survived this firestorm of Bachelor Nation and is still kind of like owning and controlling your narrative here. All right, so Mike's taken, but somebody like that.
Outside of Bachelor Nation, because I feel like I know Bachelor Nation.
I feel like you need somebody who like doesn't have Instagram. I feel like you need somebody way out. Because like, I don't know any man with a microphone who's not insecure. You know what I mean? I don't know any. Yeah. No, I don't know any. I've never heard about any. Maybe
interesting.
There's like the grounded two guys from Shits and Gigs, Shits and Giggles. They have a great podcast where they just laugh the whole entire time. They're great. But they're probably not single.
That's British. Crazy.
Yeah. No, I've never. I don't know any. So listeners, I would love to know.
You see my struggle.
Your struggle. Yeah.
Wait.
Yeah.
Can this just become my new dating show?
You know what? Let's set it up. Let's
make me a match.
Michelle Young a match. Oh yes. Well, Michelle, we could be here all day talking. Honestly, we have a million more questions, but we gotta forge ahead. This has been really wonderful. We so appreciate you coming on our platform, having this very open, real, raw conversation with us, and also kind of just sharing, you know, what it is that you're doing within Bachelor Nation and what you're trying to do with your own platform, Michelle Young Official. And thank you for just like being here in this space with us and sharing your story.
Thank you. It's been so nice to chat with you too. And I appreciate your support and the things that you have pushed for with your platform as well. It definitely doesn't go unnoticed. So thank you.
Awesome.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you. Yes. Now, what can people know where to find you on social media, but what should they be looking out for? Anything you know, want to plug or tell people to like stay tuned for?
There's a lot going on. I'll be doing a lot of motivational speaking here for education, for mental health, for women in general. So that's kind of the world, motivational speaking world that I'm kind of moving into. There's going to be a lot of really cool campaigns that are coming up. One actually got released today. It'll be on my story where I'll be working side by side with somebody in Bachelor Nation, actually. And then in the future, it may or may not be the last time you see me on your television screen, but I'll leave that there. It might be a little bit before you see something.
Nice. Well, thank you, Michelle. Everybody, thanks for tuning in. And follow us on Patreon and Instagram and TikTok and all of the things. And look out for Michelle and all her exciting things coming up as well. And we'll see you guys all next week.
See you next week. Bye.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.